It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news right across the weekend and every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple, and wherever you might be getting your podcast from these days. And today is a Sunday. Enjoy your day. If you're out shopping, have a little bit of patience. December the 10th, of course, it is chaos with retail shopping at the moment really going off. I can't think of anything worse to do on a Sunday, but that's why I like to get my shopping done well before Christmas. And coming up this morning, we have 7 days of real estate. This is a reflection point over the week. It was another busy week, wasn't it? We started on Monday talking with Nicola Powell from Domain. Asti was here on Tuesday with another report for the housing market. We spoke to Jared from Burley on the Gold Coast. This was interesting, talking about that small 125 square meter piece of dirt. Well, it's not really dirt. It's gold for what it sold for. Antoinette Nido from Toorak was here, as was Stephen Cole from Broome. Yes, finding out all about Broome this week in WA.
It's the main centre forecast.
And around the country, let's have a look at the Sunday weather. First to Sydney, plenty of cloud, a very cloudy day with 27 for you. Melbourne expecting a chance of rain, probably one or two. 22 is your forecast high. In Brisbane, expecting a mainly fine day with 30. And the sunshine is out once again in Perth for your Sunday. Sunny conditions in 31.
Every week, unravel the real estate market to empower your real estate knowledge.
2023, what a year. We did see that combined capital's median house price hit just over $1.08 million. That is at a peak, so it is a new record high. And look, we've got many of our cities ending 2023 with record pricing. Perth, Adelaide, Brisbane is now fully recovered from the downturn, and Sydney, $7,000 away from being at a new record high.
Yeah. And what about the median house price for the regional side of things? I think the figure there is around 590K.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just over that. And that's at a peak as well. I think what we have seen is, I mean, the regional or combined regional areas didn't see as a significant downturn as we saw coming out of some of our capitals, but it has recouped. But we are seeing slow rates of growth in regional markets compared to capital cities.
Now, despite the cash rate rises that I was just talking about and the anticipation of a price decline, the housing market saw unexpected growth, which really defied expectations.
You know, I think I walk away from 2023, you know, really showcase the undersupply of housing that we had across Australia. Because as you rightly said, we've seen the cash rate go from 0.1% to 4.35%. We've seen 13 rate hikes over 2022 and 2023, and many of them were actually in 2023. And we've also seen consumer sentiment deeply, deeply pessimistic. But lo and behold, we've got record pricing across many of our capitals, and we've seen a recovery in price growth pretty much across all of them. They've all bottomed out and they're starting to grow. And I think for me, I walk away and go, I look back at 2023 and it really showcases that shortfall of housing supply, which collided with rapid population growth. We also had a very strained construction sector. And of course, which has hit the headlines many times this year, the tightest rental market that Australia has ever experienced.
And if we have a look from your report, Nicola, the population growth, the tight rental markets and the unemployment really fueled demand, resulting in a scarcity of listings and really, you know, helping push those prices higher.
That's absolutely right. I think the year was almost divided into two halves. In the first 6 months of 2023, we, as you said, we saw a scarcity of listings. And that was really kind of consumer behavior coming out, where list sellers, vendors didn't want to list their homes for sale until they really felt confidence back within the housing market. And Once we hit kind of mid-year, we did see sellers come back in. They regained confidence. We saw new listings rise. And the rise in new listings really did help to ease the competition between buyers. And what we saw in the first half was actually quite strong rates of growth. And then in the second half, prices are still rising, but the pace of growth has been easing. So I think some really interesting dynamics over the listings environment. I mean, there's still some capital cities that are grossly undersupplied, you know, like Perth and Adelaide, even Brisbane, really does have a lack of supply. Supply is overall better in Melbourne, is probably the city I would pick out than most of the other capitals.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
Now, of course, you know, a lot of people will say, well, what can you build on 125 square metres? But it's probably quite surprising, you know, little bit of foresight, little bit of creativity, what you can actually put up in a 125 square metre site.
100%. So considering setbacks as well, what you can put there is essentially a freestanding villa. If you were to imagine a duplex pair, but without the other half. So you've got this freestanding villa, and given the height restrictions, you can actually do a nice little private rooftop there. So the product that's going to be put on that land is actually quite an attractive little thing. So it's enough space for something that is a pretty cool home.
Now, you've been around long enough. How much of this is happening on the small side of parcels of land where it's being subdivided?
As far as I'm aware, it's only been done twice recently in Queensland, once in Bulimba in the last few months as well. The corner blocks are a little bit more rare, right, on any given street. And therefore, if people are looking to subdivide, most people typically considering a standard split right down the middle. But we've got some owners that wanted to retain some more land so they could build a slightly bigger home for the family using the proceeds of the sale, for which has been achieved.
Now, you're in Burleigh. Let's crack on with your market. So 2023, Burleigh's really gone off, hasn't it? I mean, what a place to be selling real estate there on the Gold Coast.
Look, we're very thankful. The truth is, it's just a supply and demand thing. We've got a lot of people flooding in from Sydney and Melbourne, mostly from the eastern suburbs, northern beaches. We have a lot of expats returning. So we just have many more purchases about than we do homes for sale, which is naturally fueling competition over product available. And that's jacking the prices up. So great time to be a homeowner or an investor on the Gold Coast. All of the beachfront suburbs have done very well from the southern end all the way up to the northern end.
What about those high-rises? There's a few in there at Burleigh now. I mean, you go back 5 years ago, the amount of growth in those high-rises certainly is an appetite that people are chasing.
Some immense growth, and we're finding the southern suburbs. So if you head from Broadbeach south down to Coolangatta, a lot of new builds finishing up. Admittedly, not many coming out of the ground because of current construction costs. We're finding developers shelving a lot of the big projects for now, but a lot of brand new product finishing, and it's being snapped up by locals and interstate purchasers alike. And the top end of town, the very nice product, circa 4 million, 5 million plus, is flying off the shelves. In fact, one in Burleigh has just traded off plan for $24 million. And I believe it's the most expensive unit sold here in Queensland ever. Yeah, insatiable appetite, a great time to be a local owner.
Ready to step up your property knowledge? Access powerful insights with us.
Well, it was good news. The Reserve Bank has opted to maintain stability, holding the cash rate at 4.35%, as Anthony Landau told us all yesterday.
The RBA has decided to hold rates. There was obviously the rate rise in November, taking our cash rate to 4.35%, the 13th rate rise. A little bit of a wait-and-see approach, I think, from the governor today, and they've decided to hold rates in the run-up to Christmas.
Well, you picked it too. I was talking to you last week and you said that that's where you thought the smart money was.
Yeah, we thought that they might hold this time, I think. There is some mood around that maybe the full impact of interest rates hasn't flown through the economy yet.
And not just older women, but I think that's very true, because buying and selling a home can be very emotional. Taking the vendor on a journey and being with them every step of the way, as you say, in a caring, nurturing, but also get the business done. It's a balance between all those factors, which is important, because it's no good to have a nurturing agent who can't deliver the results.
Yeah, and when it comes to buying a property overseas outside of Australia, often it's a bit of a romantic notion, of course, laced for many people with impractical outcomes. You know, on one hand, sounds like a really great idea. On the other hand, not so much. So is it, do you think, in the long term, a good idea investing overseas?
Look, you need to take a holistic approach when you are investing, but I think you are spot on. You know, the romantic notion of buying a castle in France, which a lot of Australians did, is fabulous, only just to navigate, you know, the very significant renovation costs, heritage constraints of renovating these old homes. So is it a good idea? Is it an investment? There are pros and cons on both sides. And like any property investment, timing is critical and making sure that you buy in the right location. So if I have a client come in the door in my Toorak office, I will guide them even in Toorak and South Yarra, good pockets that represent good value, pockets that may not grow as well as other streets. Other streets will always perform well. But if you're going into a different country, often it's difficult to have that information at your fingertips, and very much buyer beware.
Ashti, Sydney and Melbourne have come out in your report much friendlier for buyers entering the market, while Brisbane and the Gold Coast less favourable.
Yes, and I know that this can be very surprising to quite a lot of people, but what we're talking about here is that in Sydney and Melbourne, they are the capital cities that has been hit the most when it comes to higher cash rate. Overall, as an average, their property market is the one that has seen a declining trend. And because of that, we actually saw a lot more suburbs in Sydney and in Melbourne that has had a softening in price. So about 30 to 35% of suburbs in either Sydney or Melbourne has seen a declining price, whereas Brisbane and the Gold Coast, we only saw about 5 to 8% of suburbs having a declining price. If we look at the median price in general of Gold Coast and Brisbane, it has become more expensive. It has proven to be very resilient against the cash rate hikes because of the undersupply and very high migration growth, which means that property prices in general has been increasing in Brisbane and the Gold Coast. So, you know, if you are a buyer, you have more chances of looking into a place that has had a decline in price in Sydney and Melbourne.
And just sort of sticking with that theme, your report also threw up that Perth and Hobart were the toughest metros to find suitable suburbs, while, and to your point, Melbourne and Adelaide were the easiest.
Yes, it's because of two different reasons. So in Hobart, one of the stickiest things that we found was the level of project development happening in Hobart. It's one of our criterias to make sure that the suburbs that we do identify have a high level of project development. That's so that, you know, the area sustains economic growth. And if you are an investor, then you will get capital growth down the track. Same thing if you're an owner, you will get capital growth down the track. And for Hobart, that project development methodology was the stickiest point. Whereas in Perth, it was balancing the wraparound infrastructure in the much more cheaper suburbs that was hard for us to do. So, you know, they were difficult for two different reasons. Melbourne and Adelaide was easiest. Melbourne because, like I said, there was a lot of suburbs that had a decline in prices. So these are suburbs that already has the wraparound infrastructure, but because of the property market, because of the economic changes, it had a decline in prices, which made it even easier for us to identify that affordable and livable suburb. Adelaide was easier because the Adelaide prices have gone on a stable trend in the past 12 months. And so even though there are certain places in Adelaide that has become more expensive, a lot of places in Adelaide has remained stable. So that affordability factor is still very much so in Adelaide, and that made it easier for us to identify those suburbs.
Yes, and a little bit of a juxtaposition when it comes to Hobart, as you say, a very tough metro area to find a suitable suburb, yet Hobart presents the most affordable livability for houses, while Sydney remains the most expensive.
I know. It can be very difficult to reconcile the idea. And, you know, the one thing that we do say in this report is that we talk about affordability from the perspective of these suburbs have a lower median price than the relevant metro or the relevant capital city. And we do that because, as you know, Hobart and Sydney, you know, Brisbane and Sydney are two very different markets with very different price points. So it's almost difficult to compare, like, for example, a suburb in Sydney. You know, if you say that you can still get a house for under $1 million, most people in Sydney will say, okay, that's still reasonable. Whereas people in Brisbane will say that that is not reasonable at all. And so because the property markets in this area are so, so different, we can't compare prices as in apple per apple. You kind of have to go to the actual area and what is affordable in that particular market, which is why our definition of affordability is that the suburbs has a lower median price than the relevant capital city.
Let's explore together the power of real estate. We keep you better informed and updated.
Broome's median house price, just a tick over $492,000. That's a pretty attractive figure.
Look, I think it is. You know, same as every market, we have a real spread from obviously lower to much higher than that. But there's a number of houses in that sector, you know, that would really be suitable for a first home buyer, you know, in good locations.
How active is the market right now for first home buyers?
Probably, I think, you know, going back to that same, the investor, unfortunately, the first home buyer has a lot of competition at the moment, whether that is for, you know, families that are now, that were previously renting, that are now looking to purchase. A lot of investor activity coming into our market now with a 9 to 10% return on investment. So yeah, unfortunately, that first home buyer is seeing a lot of competition.
Now, the population of Broome, I see that it is, 75,000 people during the dry season, but when you get into those winter days, it drops to 16,000 people. So that really does highlight the situation there of the transient nature.
Look, I think that's probably more reflective of the tourist industry we have. Obviously, a lot of people will know Broome for the white sandy beaches. So we come those the cooler months, we have an influx of tourism here. And it's amazing to see. There's an incredible vibe in town. But you're right, we go from an average of, you know, 16 to probably more so 20,000 these days, right up to standard would be 70,000. The last couple of years, we've seen that inflate to 85,000.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast. We'll